to walk into a church and kill 9 people in a place that should be sacred is a new low in hate and atrocities in this country.
Welcome back to a special edition of The Daily Drama on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. Tragedy in South Carolina, the massacre at Emmanuel AME Church. This is the Inside segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
I have to tell you, they're the most gracious group of grieving individuals I've had. I hate to say the pleasure to serve, but it's been a pleasure to deal with such strong, wonderful people in the face of such a tragedy.
Those words from Charleston County Coroner Ray Wooten today after speaking with relatives of the 9 people killed at Emmanuel AME Church. Tonight, we examine this heartbreaking story and the difficult issues it raises. My guests are Dr. Tyrone Powers, former FBI agent and director of the Homeland Security and Criminal Justice Institute at Anne Arundel Community College, Reverend Dr. Jonathan Weaver, pastor of the Greater Mount Nebo AME Church in Bowie, Maryland, and Dr. Greg Carr, chair of the Afro-American Studies Department here at Howard University. Lines are open, and we will take your calls at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. Let me start with Dr. Powers. Dr. Powers, this young man, the suspect, Dylan Rauf, was arrested within 24 hours. Your thoughts on the investigation and how the local police and the FBI did?
Well, thank you for having me on, first of all. But
sure.
I think they did a good job. Obviously, in many of these cases, though, when you have even 2, 3, 4, 5 hours in between, you rely heavily on assistance from the public. Of course, you're going to put out an APB, so that all police officers and agencies know what to look out for, who you're looking for, and why you're looking for him, because you also need to put out that he's armed and dangerous, so that another police officer doesn't get harmed or any other citizen. So the response from the public was great in this case, and response from the police on putting out the APB and the way they approached the situation in terms of the arrest was great. The investigation is a long, long way from over, because not only will you look at this individual and his history, how he purchased the gun, where he purchased the gun, where he got the jacket he was wearing with the flags on it. You'll look at everything from all his associates, all his friends. And the FBI, when they do these type of investigations, they'll go back as far as his elementary school and all the way up until where his current age, to see who his associates was. Maybe he did this, maybe it was a lone act, but maybe he had said something to someone, or maybe he's associated with someone that is planning to copycat this act. So there's a lot of investigation to be done, even with him being in custody.
Obviously, it appears that he was a lone gunman, but lone or not, would you characterize this crime today in 2015 as terrorism?
Yeah, it has to be characterized. If you look at the definition of terrorism, it's a act of violence for political or social reasons. And clearly, with the statements he made, along with it being a hate crime, it does fit the definition of a domestic terrorist act. Simply because he tried to create an atmosphere of fear, and he clearly committed an act of violence. So, if you just look at it from a legal definition, it is both a hate crime targeted at a specific group, listed in the Hate Crimes Act, and also an act of terror because of his political and social objectives, as indicated by his statement in the church.
You know, one of the things that's really interesting, when you look back at similar situations like this, the school shooting in Connecticut, the Columbine shooting, often many of these perpetrators have the same kind of background, even if their reasons are different. We are talking loners, people who don't have many friends. They stay to themselves. This young man, we're hearing that he dropped out of school in the 9th grade, that he had a particular hate for black people. Is this a pattern that the FBI is constantly looking at?
They are, and let me just add to that, because I think what is significant for the African-American community is that the number of hate crime groups, domestic hate crime groups, has grown tremendously. While we are focusing on ISIS and other groups across seas in this particular country, not only have they grown, the FBI have verified this. They've increased in their number of recruitment opportunities for young people, and they have increased in their purchase of weapons. And so I just think that's such an important point, because what it says that even beyond today, as tragic as this incident is, unless churches and other institutions prepare for this, I don't mean live in a life of fear, but prepare everyone from the ushers to the greeters to the security ministry, and every church has to have a security ministry now, then it'll happen again. Because while this incident is so horrific, there has been a gathering storm that would indicate that we were headed in this direction and maybe in for some more, as horrible as that is to think about.
Let me go to the phone lines at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Let's go to Paula calling from Silver Spring. Paula, thanks for calling. It's my understanding you are a U.S. Marshal. What's on your mind?
No, I'm an ex-U.S. Marshal.
Ex-U.S. Marshal. Okay, go
Paula
right ahead.
Paula Regusters. And my thought is that we still have the Ku Klux Klan, and we tend to forget that they raise children. And their children may be under different names and sites, and I feel as though that that's still going on. And I mentioned that to some friends, some former coworkers 3 years ago, that that's a very good possibility that this is still in existence. Well, we know it's in existence.
Okay.
And it's not so much as whether people are feeling today like it's something that just, like they have an issue, a mental issue or what have you. It's their upbringing.
Yeah, and that's a, and that's a very, very key point, Paula. You know, Dr. Powers, she makes a really important point. We all have heard over and over and over again that racism, prejudice is a learned thing. And when you're talking about these organized groups or just in households that are racist, does that just create a dilemma for law enforcement?
Well, it is part of the problem. But let me say this, too. We're in an environment, a racial environment, where we've watched the situation in Ferguson, the situation in Baltimore and across the nation, and there always is some blowback from that. As much as logical as it seemed to us that we were just addressing police brutality issues, because we've been addressing them with a specific emphasis on black males, there's a whole nother community that would take this focus and use it as blowback and as motivation to carry out acts. Because you can be read as a racist individual. I say this all the time. You can be very prejudiced.
Yeah.
But to take it to the next level of actually committing a violent act takes something else. And that's why they will thoroughly investigate this individual to see if there's some other aspect or some other people that help push him to the point of moving from feeling a certain way to acting a certain way.
Well, Dr. Tyrone Powers, former FBI agent and director of the Homeland Security and Criminal Justice Institute at Anne Arundel Community College, thank you for joining us in this conversation. Coming up next, the Reverend Dr. Jonathan Weaver and Dr. Greg Carr. We continue the discussion, tragedy in South Carolina, the massacre at Emmanuel AME Church. We'll be back in a moment.
Hate does not have a color. It could be a white killing black people. It could be blacks killing whites. It could be whites killing each other, blacks killing each other. So this is not just a racial hate crime.
Welcome back to a special edition of the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. Tragedy in South Carolina, the massacre at Emmanuel AME Church. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our examination of this crime and the difficult issues it raises. We now have Reverend Dr. Jonathan Weaver, pastor of the Greater Mount Nebo AME Church in Bowie, Maryland, and Dr. Greg Carr, Chair of the Afro-American Studies Department at Howard University. We will be taking your calls, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Let me first go to Dr. Carr. I'm sure you have plenty to say about this, but certainly, would you consider this a prime example of the tragedy of racism?
Oh, of course. This is an act of domestic terrorism. Brother, the attack and, you know, Pastor can really address this, but Mother Emanuel, one of the oldest congregations in the AME Church, meaning the organized black church in this country, of course, was the home church held in, it was founded in part by Denmark Vesey, who in 1822 engaged in an act of rebellion against enslavement that cost him his life. 193 years later, here's Mother Emanuel getting attacked again. Yeah, I poured libation in that church at a wedding, and those people knew their history. They know their history, very proud group of African people there. And this guy, Dylan Storm Roof, who has been pictured with a picture with a jacket with the flag of Rhodesia and apartheid South Africa, you know, is a white internationalist. He is reported to have said, you all are raping our women, you're taking our country, you've got to go. This is an act of domestic terrorism. There's no doubt about it. And lastly, I'll just say very quickly, you know, the South Carolina legislature appropriated money after the Vesey Rebellion to create what we now know as the Citadel. This is part of the deep history of America, militarized resistance of black life. You know, brother, living while black seems to be a crime in this country.
Well, let me,
has utterly failed to protect us.
Let me bring Reverend Weaver in. Reverend Weaver, does this incident make you rethink security and safety at your church? Even though, yeah, you're in the D.C. metro area, but these kinds of things, you know, don't happen in a vacuum.
Well, they don't happen in a vacuum. And let me just say, when you said rethink, we've had security at our church since the day that I arrived at Greater Mount Nebo 27 and a half years ago, in large part because of an incident that I saw when I was still living in Baltimore at a church there in Baltimore where someone raced up the center of the sanctuary, jumped over the altar rail, and literally made his way all the way into the pulpit area where he was just about ready to assault the pastor. And so I decided very quickly when I got to Greater Mount Nebo that we needed to make sure that we had a security ministry, and we've had one ever since. Certainly this incident, this tragedy, this horrific crime that took place on last night is a terrible example of why churches, even with what we hope to be a place of sacredness and sanctity, know full well that the church is threatened just like any other place here in America, and it necessitates that we within the faith community take those kinds of positions and actions to ensure that people can come and to worship freely. But it does necessitate in this climate that certainly shows that virulent racism is still very much with us, and the threats of violence even within houses of worship necessitate that we take certain measures.
What kind of conversations have you had with the leadership of your church over the past 24 hours or so?
Well, a couple of things. One, we've already decided that we're going to have a prayer service on Saturday. And interestingly enough, to make sure that it's not just members of the AME church that are there, but we want to reach out into the broader community. And yes, people of other faiths, creeds, colors, to join us as well, so that we're standing up against this kind of injustice and racism,
okay,
and the kind of intolerance that exists, not just in the United States and not just in southern states, but we've certainly seen all kinds of hatred that pervade this country. And it's not that indeed it's systemic, but the fact of the matter is,
well, Reverend Weaver, I've got to take a quick break. I've got to take a quick break. We'll continue that point on the other side. And if you're on the phone, please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. This special edition of The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a few seconds.